Father, we thank you for the work you're doing here at Hope. Father, I thank you for your word that leads, that guides, that directs, that gives that course correction to our hearts. Ah, Father, we need that. I need that. So as we talk about the heart this morning, Father, would you do a work that only you can do? I pray for a receptivity on our part, God, that we won't be defensive. And Lord, if we're those people who we've like run from allowing you to begin to peel back some of the layers of our heart, God, I pray today would be a new day for us. I pray today we would hear your voice. I pray today we would respond and walk in obedience to what you're asking of us as your people. So Holy Spirit, come speak to us this morning. I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would give honor and glory to your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the year was 1989. Just out of curiosity, how many in here were not born in 1989? Raise your hand. All right. Fairly young congregation. That's good. So 1989, there was this song that hit the U.S. by storm. Okay. It was by a duo artist from Sweden called Roxette. All right. The song hit the charts. And even 16 years after the song was released, so in the mid-2000s, it was still topping the Billboard charts. That's how popular this song was. Anyone know the title of the song? Came out in 88, became popular in 89. It was called Listen to Your Heart. All right, here's the chorus of that song. Listen to your heart when he's calling for you. Listen to your heart, there's nothing else you can do. I don't know where you're going and I don't know why, but listen to your heart. All right, so kind of a sappy love song, catchy tune, especially if you like 80s music. But have any of you ever listened to that advice? Just listen to your heart. Just follow your heart. Just do what your heart says. So you took that advice, as the song says, but then you regretted your decision? Yeah, because our hearts can lead us astray. Our hearts are deceitful. Look at what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So although listen to your heart might have been a catchy tune, I don't think it's the best advice for us because it can lead us into a lot of trouble. And as we continue our sermon series on the book of Hebrews, we're in chapter 3 today. The nature of what we're talking about is our heart. Not our physical heart, but rather our spiritual heart. And scripture says it's a heart that can be deceived, that can be deceived. It's a heart that can turn away from the Lord. It's a heart that can rebel against God. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. And I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bibles this morning. I want to give you a moment to turn there. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. And if you're able to, please stand as I read from God's word. It won't be on the screen, so again, I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, reading from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, God's voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care. If you have your Bibles, underline that. We're coming back to this morning. Take care, brothers, sisters would be included in there, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, here it is again, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. You may be seated. Now, when one first looks at this text, at this passage, it feels like it's all over the place. Because the author of Hebrews, he goes to the past, talking about Israel, then he jumps to the present, then he goes back to the past. So again, it's a little bit confusing because he's all over the map. So with the help of a great commentary, the Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, I pieced together an outline for us. And it was helpful for me to try to unpack all that this text is saying to us. And I hope it's helpful for you as well. So I put it in your sermon notes. You'll see it on the screens as well. So this passage begins with a warning to believers based on Israel's past. That's verses 7 through 11. After that warning, it gives us some instructions and some commands based on that warning. And then the last few verses give a blessing and a warning of applying or not applying the instructions that we find in verses 12 through 13. So I hope this all makes sense as we walk through this outline. Now, through much of the book of Hebrews, the author is warning the believers not to drift away from their faith. And in verses 7 through 11, he is quoting Psalm 95, which talks about the nation of Israel when they rebelled against God in the wilderness. And many of us are familiar with that story. God rescues his people from Egypt. They'd been enslaved for 400 years. God has mercy. He hears their cry. He sends Moses. He sends the 10 plagues, right? Punishes Pharaoh, the Egyptians. He leads his people through the Red Sea. All of Pharaoh's army drowned. God's people are finally set free. And now God is leading his people to the promised land, this land that he had set aside for them. The Bible says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that would make God's people very wealthy, very prosperous. It was the land he had for them. So he's leading them through the wilderness to this land. What happens? As all of us do, the people began to complain, to grumble against God, to doubt him. God, time and time again, shows up. He proves that he's going to protect them, guide them, provide for them, gives them manna, gives them quail, so bread and meat, provides for them water. He gives them the Ten Commandments. He leads them right up to the promised land. I mean, it's like right there, right? They can see it. They send the 12 spies to survey the land. These spies come back. 10 of them are like, not a good idea, guys. You see, there's these tall people over there. 6'5", really strong. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But then there's these big cities and they start to doubt. They're like, I don't know. I don't know if God is with us. I don't know if this land is really ours. I don't know if God can help us here. And so the people begin to grumble. They start to rebel against God and Moses. God reminds them, hey, remember Egypt? Like, remember what I just did? How I took care of Pharaoh's army. Surely I can help you here in this new land. The people continue to doubt. They don't listen to God. They rebel against him. They fail to trust in him and his promises. They refuse to listen to his voice. And because of that, they have to wander in the desert for 40 years until that entire generation dies out. And then their children are able to go into the promised land. So the warning that Hebrews is giving here is this. Don't be like the Israelites who rebelled against God, who refuse to trust in his promises. Don't let your hearts be led astray, gripped by unbelief, hardened towards God. There are grave consequences if you do that. And as I was reading through this text and preparing for the message today, the word that kept coming, just jumping out at me is that word today. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts. We see that same exact phrase two times in verse 8 and verse 15. And I believe that is significant for us because the warning God gives is for today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today, now. And I believe what many Christians, me included, what we suffer from is what I call the mañana syndrome. Anyone know what the mañana syndrome is? I'm just back from Latin America, so I'm fresh up on my Spanish. Mañana means tomorrow. And so the mañana syndrome is kind of this, you just kind of laid back attitude. You just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Oh, mañana. I'll get to that mañana. I'll listen mañana. Tomorrow I'll repent. Tomorrow I'll obey. Tomorrow I'll get serious about my relationship with God. Tomorrow I'll believe. Mañana, mañana, mañana. And this kind of tomorrow attitude is detrimental when it comes to our walk and our relationship with Jesus. I believe we are in danger of having a hardness of heart, when we give into this tomorrow attitude. Listen, tomorrow is not guaranteed. It's not. Scripture says today, if you hear God's voice, today is the day we need to operate in. Not mañana, hoy, today. Hoy is today, right? Hoy, now, today. So here's the warning. Be aware. Be aware of a passive, I'll worry about it tomorrow attitude when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. I believe that can be detrimental to your faith. And now this brings us to verses 12 and 13. And here the author, he gives some instructions, some commands we must follow if we're going to keep our hearts from turning away from God and becoming calloused towards him. And these two verses, I believe, really are the heart of this passage and what the author is trying to communicate. So I'm going to read them again. Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So here in these verses, God through his word is calling us to be mindful of our hearts. Now, I did a little research on heart disease this week, and I came across some very interesting facts. In fact, on Saturday, I was going over my notes and just trying to get it all in my head, and I'm like, I had to go back to the research I did, because I'm like, is this like for real? Is this true? All right, so here's the research. Did you know that on average, every 38 seconds in the United States, somebody dies of heart disease? Every 38 seconds. That's 2,303 people who die every day here in our country because of heart-related diseases. And heart disease is the number one killer of people here in our country, more than all cancer, more than all car accidents combined. And I read those statistics and I'm like, ah, man. Because you see, I love Cheez-Its. I'm not a big fan of like desserts or apple pie or any of that. But man, you put a box of Cheez-Its in front of me and I'm like, I'll eat that whole box in 10 minutes. And Cheez-Its are horrible for your heart. So I'm like, got to cut back on the Cheez-Its, eat a salad, right? Keep drinking coffee because it's good for your heart. But here's the deal. This passage here in Hebrews, it's not talking about our physical heart. It's talking about the spiritual heart, and it's saying there's a spiritual heart disease that can be detrimental to our walk with God, that can cause us to harden our hearts and rebel against him. And I love this quote from the Concordia Commentary. It was in your sermon. It's in your sermon notes. It'll be on the screens. The author says this, in Hebrews, as in the rest of Scripture, the heart is the whole of the conscious mind. Listen to this. It has capacity to will and decide, to trust and distrust. Now pay attention. It can decide to go the wrong way. Sorry, Roxette. I'm not listening to my heart, right? And is hardened by refusing to listen to the voice of God and trust in him. This passage in Hebrews warns believers about the cause of apostasy and its dire consequences. All right, so what do we do? If my heart can decide to go the wrong way, if it can refuse to listen to God, what do we do? Well, thankfully, here in verses 12 and 13, we're given some commands, some instructions that can help us keep our hearts from becoming callous towards God. And so on the back of your sermon notes, I've listed these commands as a form of application today. So the first command, the first instruction we're given, if we want to avoid hardness of heart, rebelling against God, is this. Take care. That's verse 12. Now that word, that phrase, it means to look intently and to examine closely. And this is a command, not a suggestion. And so this verse says, look at your hearts, friends. Look at your hearts. Take care. In other words, do a checkup on your heart. And what we are to examine closely is to see if we can locate within our hearts any sense of unbelief, any sense of mistrust in God, any sense of deceit or deception that could keep us from hearing God's voice. And I believe this means we take time to allow God through his word, because his word is our guide. His word is truth for us. So we allow God through his word, through the Holy Spirit, to begin to reveal what's going on in my heart. To ask, okay, God, why? Like in these moments, you have these moments, right? Like, God, why do I respond in that way? Or God, why do I keep like doubting? Ever have that? Where are those areas that I mistrust you? Why do I keep giving into these unhealthy habits? What's going on in my heart? Would you reveal it? Would you begin to do a work that only you can do? And I think for many of us, this kind of heart checkup, I think it's a scary thing to allow God through his word, through the Holy Spirit, to really reveal what's going on in our hearts. That can be scary because we might not always like what we see. I think for others of us, we don't want to examine our hearts because then we might have to come face to face with the reality that there are some unhealthy habits we've given into, maybe some change that we need to make. So 2 weeks ago today, my wife Amy and I, we had the opportunity to go to Costa Rica. And we went to celebrate our anniversary. We're in July, we'll be married 15 years, but we thought, let's go somewhere warm in the winter so we could escape the cold for a week. And so we flew down to Costa Rica, had an absolutely fantastic time. Costa Rica is a beautiful place. I told Amy the second day we were there, I'm like, this is what paradise is going to be like, I hope. Unless you like snow, maybe paradise will be snow for you. I don't know. We'll figure that out when we get to heaven. But we had a fantastic week. But anyways, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, there's something about warm weather. There's something about the ocean. There's something about being in a tropical environment that just like helps me feel closer to God and like hear his voice more clearly. And so the whole week that I was there, I didn't sleep in at all. My whole mindset was I'm in warm weather for 1 week. So I am taking advantage of this as much as possible. I'm going to be outside. So I was up 5:45, 6 every morning and I'd go for a run along the ocean there. And then they had this beautiful patio area. The place we were staying at was on a hill. You could oversee the resort and it was just beautiful there in the mornings. You could see the ocean. They had Costa Rican coffee for you, so you could grab that. And so every morning, I'd grab my Bible, a journal, and a cup of coffee. And I just, first couple of days, I'm like, I'm called to do this. By day 4, God started doing a real heart check in me. You see, it'd been a long time since I'd been away from just the busyness of life. Busyness of just ministry and family. And one morning I sat out there for about an hour. God revealed some attitudes, some areas of unbelief, some things I need to commit to change in my life. It was significant. That heart check that God just kind of dropped on me there in Costa Rica. Now here's the thing. Not all of us can hop on a plane tomorrow, right? And go to beautiful Costa Rica, grab a good cup of coffee, right? Sit by the ocean, open up the word. All right, God, do a heart check. But Hebrews 3:12 does not say, brothers and sisters, buy a plane ticket to Costa Rica tomorrow. Get a good cup of coffee, open up my word. No, what does it say? It says, take care. Take care, friends, take care. Allow God to do a work in your heart. Take time to listen. Let God reveal what's going on, whether you're in Costa Rica or Minnesota or Antarctica. Take heart. The place doesn't matter. And I believe the danger we run into is avoiding what's going on in our hearts altogether, thinking, I'm fine. No worries, mañana. I'll get to the whole heart thing. Mañana, listen. You ignore your heart symptoms for too long. It can be detrimental to your health. Scripture says today, if you hear God's voice, not tomorrow, today we're called to listen. Today we are called to respond. Today we are called to take care. And I pray that the posture of our hearts would be one of humility. As David wrote in Psalm 139 when he said this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, our hearts, they can be so easily deceived, can't they? Even if you've been a follower of Christ your whole life, you can be deceived. You can easily decide to go the wrong way. So we need to examine, we need to take care, pay close attention to what's going on in our hearts. Second command, and I got to speed it up here, is to seek encouragement. We We want to avoid hardness of heart. Seek encouragement. Verse 13, it says exhort. That means to encourage. And so if we're going to keep our hearts from being deceived, from falling away, we need constant encouragement from one another. And this verse says we need encouragement day after day after day. Remember the context here. The Israelites had failed to walk in obedience. They had failed to listen to God. And so the encouragement that is needed from you and from me is for us to hear God's voice. It's to walk in obedience. It's to avoid those pitfalls that could lead us astray and that could cause us to have a hardness of heart. And let's just be real honest with each other for a moment. Obedience to what God asks, it's difficult sometimes, isn't it? It's not always easy. It's not always rational. It's not always logical, but it is always better. And if I'm honest, sometimes the last thing I want to do, I'm just being brutally honest. Sometimes the last thing I want to do is to walk in obedience to what God asks of me. Anyone else? Yeah. And so the encouragement that we need from one another is to walk in obedience with Christ, to encourage each other, to be in his word, to hear from him, to listen, to respond, to say yes to Jesus and what he asks of us, even when sometimes it's the last thing we want to do. And this is why community and small groups are so important for us when it comes to our walk with Christ. Because I believe if we are going to remain faithful to the end in our walk with Jesus, we need encouragement. We need accountability. We need support from one another. I believe one of the worst things we can do as believers is to isolate ourselves and to say, I'm good. I got this. I don't need encouragement. I can fight the fight of faith on my own. Really? Good luck with that, because scripture says we need encouragement. We were made to be in community with one another, to encourage each other in our relationship with Christ, and to be attentive to his voice. Can I just be real honest for a minute? Speak freely, as Pastor Brian does sometimes. So I've been at Hope. It'll be 7 years in May. And the thing that has perplexed me at times, again, I'm just being honest. I say this out of love, okay? It's not condemnation, just out of love. I've seen this here at Hope over the 7 years that I've been here, is for many people, just a reluctance to community, like real community around God's word with other people. We call that small groups, where God's word shapes us, directs us, leads us. I've heard people say, it's just not my thing. I don't have time for that. Okay, small groups are not your thing. Well, then I hope you can find encouragement from other brothers and sisters, because let me tell you, life is hard. Your heart can deceive you. It can go the wrong way. And sometimes we need a kick in the pants, don't we, from our brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, we were created for community. So if God is nudging you, listen to that. If you hear his voice, respond. It's one of the reasons why we are encouraging couples to be in this Couples in the Word Challenge, because we need to encourage each other as married couples. We need encouragement from other couples as well. So again, I would encourage you to be a part of that. But we need community. If you don't got it, you got to get it. All right, so let's land the plane here now on the text. So this passage of Scripture, it closes out with talking about the blessing that comes as we hear God's voice, as we don't harden our hearts. And then it also warns us of what happens if we give into unbelief and if we allow our hearts to become callous towards God, as the nation of Israel did. And I think verse 14, it's kind of really the crux here of everything. I think it really summarizes what God desires for us as his people. This is the NLT version. You'll see it on the screens, Hebrews 3:14. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. In other words, there are blessings for you and for me as we pay attention to God's voice, as we walk in obedience, as we take time to examine our hearts, as we trust in his promises and in his faithfulness. And this brings us to our final point of application. And here's what I want us to remember this morning. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. If we are going to remain faithful in our walk with God, if we're going to listen to his voice, if we're going to keep our hearts from turning away from him, hear me, we can't do it in our own strength, in our own power. It's impossible. We must look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Because apart from him, we can do, we know this, nada. That's Spanish for nothing. There's your Spanish lesson. Nada, mañana, right? Apart from him, we can do nothing. You see, only Jesus can deal with our evil hearts that want to turn from him. Only Jesus can take our hearts of stone and turn them into hearts of flesh that say yes to him and that want to walk in obedience, that want to listen to his voice. We need his help. We must rely on him. We cannot do this in our own strength, in our own power. And I think the best prayer we can pray when it comes to issues of the heart, I pray this for myself, I pray it for my children, is just the prayer, Jesus, help. Jesus, help. I can't do this. I fully don't know what's going on in my heart, but you do. Would you bring about a change? Would you get rid of those things that aren't of you, as only you can do? You see, this isn't about us. It's not about what we do. It's all about what Jesus wants to and needs to do in our hearts as we rely on him and as we trust in him. Listen to these words again from Ezekiel 36. And I'm going to close with this. You'll see it on the screen. This is God speaking, okay? I, God, will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I, God, will put within you. And I, God, will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I, God, will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. There is no me in those verses. Again, this isn't about what we do. This is only about what Jesus can do as we come to him in humility, as we allow him to examine our hearts through the word, through the Holy Spirit, and then we allow him to do the change he needs to do. Friends, our hope is not in Costa Rica, in a nice week getaway where we just have some time to read God's word. Community is important, but our hope doesn't lie there. Our only hope lies in Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, the only one who can deal with our hearts. So as we come to communion this morning, I want us to take a moment, and I want us just to invite the Holy Spirit. We're going to do something a little different than we normally do, but I want us just to invite the Holy Spirit to come and maybe reveal to us some things that are going on in our lives, that are going on in our hearts. And whether you're 3 or 93, I would love for all of us to participate in this. So what I'm going to do is I want to invite us to come in a posture of humility and to pray the prayer that David wrote in Psalm 139. So we'll pray those verses together, verse 23 and 24. And then I just want us to take a moment of silence. And I would invite you this morning, just invite Jesus to speak. Invite him to reveal maybe what's going on in your heart. Again, I didn't know I needed a heart check. I thought I was good. The big takeaway for me from my trip was I had to do more of that. Just take time to allow God to speak and reveal what's really going on. So let's commit to that this morning. Let's read this prayer from Psalm 139. Can we put that up on the screens? Verses 23 through 24. Let's pray this together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's take a moment of silence. God, I thank you that you know our hearts better than we do. Father, and maybe some of us need some major surgery this morning. I don't know what's going on. But God, you do. If there's areas of unbelief, there's areas of mistrust, maybe lies that we've believed, Father, would you shed truth on those lies, that unbelief? Father, for those who maybe have certain unhealthy habits that they keep running to and falling into, God, would you get to the root of that? It stems from the heart. Father, would you put a desire in us to hear your voice, to listen, to respond, even in those moments when it's really difficult. So Jesus, would you turn our hearts back to you this morning? We long to be a people. Father, we do. We long to be a people that hear your voice and respond in faith to what you're asking of us. So thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that you're here with us. May we continually keep our eyes on you and trust you to do the work in us that only you can do. We love you. We pray this in your beautiful, your holy, your awesome name. Amen. As we continue in this posture of repentance this morning, I want us to pray a prayer of confession as a form of just confessing our sins before God before we partake in communion. So you'll find this prayer on the screens. Let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you in order to receive your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that honors you the most. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God's word tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've confessed your sins this morning, if you believed on Jesus, rest in his grace, rest in his forgiveness.